all of us. We can be safe or not through the gospel of Christ. So I can tell you, I remember, I never forget when Mr. Tom was in Chile. I was, you know, a teenager, starting my journey as a Christian, and he started to push me to preach. Okay, so I was so mad with him because, you know, I was so happy in the bench, you know, in the backside of the church. I was so happy to clean, you know, the building of the church, but every Sunday he was pushing me, saying, when you will preach? Okay, I said, never, never. I don't like to speak in public, okay? But I can tell you it's a blessing. It's a blessing from God to share the gospel with many people. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be here. And also I want to give you thanks for all the support that you are giving to missionaries going to Chile with us. You know, it's kind of strange that they went to Chile, shared the gospel with us. Now I'm here, and I'm taking them again to go and share the gospel again in Chile. So it's a kind of blessing. You know, it's that kind of things that the Lord can do in a wonderful ways. Well, today I want to share something important. And I want to start to... with a question. Today I will have many questions, okay? Do you have a favorite home decor quote? Well, we have a favorite one in our house, okay? Mi casa es su casa. You know these slogans that sometimes we use in our homes, you know, to, I don't know, share something, some wisdom or something like that? Well, it's my house is my, it's your house, okay? Mi casa es su casa, my house is your house. But you know, in some stores, sometimes we can find some interesting and funny home decor quotes. And I found something in internet, okay? I don't have too much time to go to some store and, you know, and try to get some quotes over there. So I followed my heart, it led me to the fridge, okay? We can find some wisdom over there, right? Especially during the night, late in the night. People disappoint, pizza is internal. Families are like food, mostly sweet with lots of nuts. Okay? You can go, I don't know, there you go. Okay, forward with the slides. Next one. There you go. Next one. Without coffee, there would be no me. Without me, the world would be a sad place. And this is one of my favorites that I will use today as a theme for my sermons. Problems, you are very welcome. Who likes problems? Somebody here? Somebody's fan of problems? Yeah, there you go. We have one, I know. We don't like problems, but how many of us had problems before? Can you raise your hands? All of us. So we can escape our problems. We can have, or we had many kind of problems before. We have problems with our family. We have problems with the law, we have problem with our neighbors, we have problem with our wives. Somebody say amen? No? Sometimes we can have problem with husbands, okay? There you go. That is the truth. And you know, sometimes we can have problems with kids, our kids. Like I had a problem with my little one. You know, we have two daughters, Abigail, who is with the teddy bear over there, and Antonia is the little one over there with 6 months. Okay, do you know, one day I took Antonia for a bath. Okay, so I go to the room, I take his diaper off. Okay, so I took Antonia, you know, to the bathroom. In our way, she make poo in my arms and in my t-shirt, and I say, Antonia! And when I look at her, she was smiling. sometimes we have problems with our kids. But you know, that's life. And like we were hearing in the meditation for the Lord's Supper, sometimes life could be confusing. When we have problems, sometimes we don't have the answers that we would like to have for those moments, hard moments. It is true that nobody wants problem, but it's also true that we have it. And many of them, no matter what kind of seat do you have in the train, could be first class or economic, I can tell you that during the journey of life, we will face problems. When we have problems in life, usually we have more questions than answers. We would like to have all the answers for our problems, but sometimes it is impossible. During afflictions, during hard times, we need somebody that can tell us that everything is going to be fine. But sometimes we don't have nobody there. One of my questions today is, how can we be prepared to face problems and afflictions on life? I can tell you from my experience, I never was prepared for problems when I grew up. We have positive attitudes or negative attitudes when problems show up. And I think that for us as a Christian, we have the challenge to have the right attitudes when we face problems. We have problems in many ways. But my proposition today is, how can we have a positive attitude to face and handle problems on life? When we understand that God has a purpose with each one of the hard moments that we have on life, we will have a different attitude. If God allows problems in our life, afflictions, it's because He has a good purpose. So, what is going to be our attitude in each one of our problems, in our afflictions? I want to invite you to take a look in the Bible. We'll go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 2. And we will read something really, really important here to understand why sometimes God uses problems and allow afflictions in our times. And you shall remember that the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep His commandments or not. And you know, I have three important answers for the question why God allows problems and afflictions in our lives. The first reason is because God wants to reveal something. The second reason is that God, He wants to show us that something maybe is wrong and need to be improved. And the third reason is that God allows problems in our life because He wants to prepare us for good things. So the first reason, problems, afflictions in life reveal our heart to us. If we pay attention in the verse that we wrote before, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. Looks like that God, He doesn't know what is in our heart right now. So to know what is happening in our inside, he need to use something to know. So if we take this verse in the Bible just like that, without considering the context of this verse in the Bible, looks like that God, he doesn't know everything. And my question is, God doesn't know everything, or he knows everything? I can tell you, if God could not know everything, he is not God. He's not the creator. But the context of the Bible teaches me something really awesome about God and his knowledge. So, does God know our hearts? Let's take a look in John chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible says, and Jesus, the next slide, and Jesus need no one to bear witness about men, for he himself knew what was in man. So this context in the Bible show us that the Lord Jesus, who is the image of God, he don't need the help of nobody of us to know what is inside of man. The Bible say that he knows what is inside of you in this moment and what is inside of me in this right moment. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, thief, false witness, slander. This is the word of the Lord Jesus, and he knows very well what is happening in your heart right now. So, really, God need to know our hearts, or we need to know our hearts? The Bible tells us that the Creator knows very well his creation. God knows very well what is in the heart of each person, what is in your heart and in my heart. In the context of the verse that we used at the beginning, Deuteronomy, when the Bible used the noun heart, that in the Hebrew is labab, is talking about the inner person, the mind of each person, the will of each one of us, our inclinations. When the Bible speaks about our hearts, he's talking to the deep, the very deep inside of Darío. What is in my mind? What are my inclinations, my feelings? God knows very well what is in our mind and what are our intentions. So in the context, the Bible tells us that God do not need the help of nobody to know more about us. But God wants to tell us something, reveal us something about the condition of your heart and my heart and our commitment with his will. I want to invite you to read Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. And you know, like I tell you, I have many questions today, because sometimes when we have problems, we need answers. And we have more questions sometimes. Do we need to know our hearts? Do we? You know, sometimes with Adriana, she tell me that we need to buy some groceries, okay? And she has a list like this size sometimes. And I say, no, it's just need to the help, okay? We can't. But she told me that, yeah, we need onions, potato, we need chocolate. And I said, chocolate for for lunch or not for me, okay? Chocolate, ice creams, diapers, and she give me a list, and she say to me that you need to take note. And I say, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I can remember everything, okay? So when I went to the store and I tried to remember, I bought all the groceries that aren't in my mind. So when I came to my house, Adriana started to, take a look in the bags, and he started to ask me, where is the potatoes? Where is the onions? Where are the diapers? And I said, oh, I forget it. Dario, you always do the same. That's my life like a husband sometimes. But I believe that, I can do everything. I will remember everything. But sometimes I can do it. And looks like I don't know myself very well. And there is a history in the Bible, something similar but different, like in my history with the list of groceries. A history with one of the apostles, Apostle Peter. And the Lord Jesus once tells something important to Peter before the Lord Jesus were crucified. He was talking, the Lord Jesus, with Peter, Simon Peter, and he said to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail. And when you have turned it again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. What apostle? Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And we know very well the end of this history. Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times. He looks himself like a great apostle, like a great disciple, but he doesn't know very well his heart. And he failed in a moment of test. We are ready for problems. Maybe you had a lot of problems before in your life. And maybe you can say today, I'm ready. But maybe for new generations, we are not so ready. And that is the reason why sometimes we need the advice of our parents. I'm ready for problems. Let's see 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 12. And this is the words of Apostle Peter, who betrayed the Lord Jesus, who denied the Lord Jesus three times. And he said this word, he wrote this word for Christian many years ago. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it's come upon you to test you. I thought something strange were happening to you. This is the word of somebody that learned from problems. That learned something really, really important when affliction came to us. The Lord Jesus gave revelation to Peter about his heart, the condition of his mind, his predisposition to obey God. A revelation about problems that he will face in a sooner future. A revelation about who was Peter. Apostle Peter was sure about the condition about his faith as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But the test that he faced revealed something total different. Peter wasn't prepared for problems as a disciple of Christ. We are ready to face problems, health problems, economical problems, problems with our neighbors, maybe problems with ourselves. Are we ready? The second reason why God uses problems and afflictions in our life is to show us that something maybe is doing wrong. God tests his people with problems and afflictions with the intention to show them improvement that they need to do with their mentality, beliefs, and behaviors. You know, because sometimes we came to church thinking that we are super cool Christians. And everything is fine. And sometimes we suppose that if we sit here, if we sing, if we read the Bible, everything is doing fine and it's going to be fine in our lives. But sometimes when we face problems and affliction, we face another different scenario in our lives. I want to show you a text in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. And there he tasted them. You know, this happened 3 days after they left Egypt. They were in their way to the new land, the promised land, a better land, a land of freedom. And they took just 3 days to have a bad attitude when afflictions, problems, issues appear. You know, walking in the desert, in Chile we have the driest desert in the world, the desert of Atacama. It's really impressive when you are there. I had the opportunity more than once to be there and see the desert of Atacama. So we know in Chile that it's not a good idea if you want to have, a picnic day or, going to walk in the wilderness of Chile, the desert of Chile. It's not a good idea. They were walking for 3 days in the wilderness, and they were thirsty. They couldn't drink water. And you know who was guilty about that? Poor Moses. The man that helped them, these people, to be free in the name of God. So they grumbled against Moses about his goodwill with these people, just because they don't have water to drink. I remember that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had a hard winter here in Lansing area, this part of Michigan. And I remember very well when we lose the power. In Adriana, we're so scared. And my wife, she's from Colombia, so in the north of Colombia it's very, very warm, very hot. So she was kind of scared that we couldn't have, a heater to use it in our apartment. So what are we going to do if we don't have power? Okay, so I was scared too. It looks for me like movies, with all the ice outside and, the snow. And sometimes when we face something that is different for us, we lose our mind. Thank God we're still here, okay? So Michigan winter is not too strong, okay? Or yes. But these people, they were not prepared to face problems. They were not prepared to have a good attitude in afflictions. People of Israel spent 400 years as slaves of Egypt, where they suffered, they were treated without dignity and respect. Their lifestyle and their attitude before life was affected and atrophied. God tests his people in the wilderness to take Egypt from their hearts. God tasted his people to take Egypt out of their minds. You know, it is hard to live a new life with an old mentality, with a mentality that is contaminated with bitterness and unbelief. This is one of the reasons why God used the word discipleship in the New Testament for those that give their lives to Jesus Christ. Because discipleship is a process where God is working in our hearts to transform our minds, our way to think, our attitudes, our behavior. God changes us through the discipleship. Let's go and read Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you might discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God wants to change our way to see life. He wants to give us a new worldview. In Jesus Christ, we have a new life. The Bible says that if we are in Christ, all things in our life pass it away. Now we are living a new life. We are living a new life with new things to come. Exodus 16 shows us something very, very important. The people of Israel grumble against Moses and Aaron again in the wilderness. And the people of Israel say to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and eat bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You know, they face another issue, another problem in the desert. And they grumble again against Moses and now against his brother Aaron. This experience in the wilderness showed them that they were free people for the grace of God, but their hearts, their minds, were still in the slavery of Egypt. Sometimes, some things need to be improved in them. God used affliction to test his people with intention to take Egypt, our old way to live, our old lifestyle, out from our minds. People of Israel did not have a positive approach to some difficulties. They really need some improvement. And my question is, we do need improvement in our lives? Or we are a finished product in this day? You know, when we face many situations in our life, people can see the condition of our hearts. You know, when we came with Adriana to the United States, we came with a mind that all the Americans were like Mr. Tom and Mrs. Marilyn. We came with the mentality that every woman here in the United States make great cookies and great brownies like a Mrs. Marilyn. But wasn't the reality. And we start to see that people here were different than Mr. Tom and Mrs. Marilyn. People inside of the church were different than the missionaries that we met before. And maybe that could be a bad thing for us, like a stranger, like a foreigner. But you know, we understand that people is people. And we need the help of God to improve the condition of our hearts. And that is one of the reasons why God allows problems and affliction in our history, because he is so interested and help us to be better. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 said, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." If we read the verse in Deuteronomy where the Lord, where the Bible said that the Lord used affliction, problems to test our heart to see if we can keep his commandment, looks like God is not sure about you and me here in his church. Looks like that God needs to be sure that he wants to save you, because he doesn't know that you really will keep his commandment. And God need committed people to make an impact in this world. But we need to see the context of the Bible. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. If problems reveal that something is wrong in our hearts, it's because God wants to show us that he needs to work in something specific in us. He wants to improve our commitment with him in our life as a Christian. The third reason, problems, afflictions in life can be of benefit for Christians? Really? Absolutely. How do problems help us? Problems help us to mature. James chapter 1 verse 2-5, the Bible says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." It is true, we don't like problems. I don't want to have problems with my wife. That is the truth. I don't want to have problems with my neighbors. I don't want to have problems with my professors at Great Lakes Christian College, because I know what I will receive. You have problems with an important person. I don't want to have problems with an officer of the law, because I know what I will receive if I have problem. God allows suffering and problems in our life with a good purpose. While we read the Bible, we will find that many people that tried to follow God had many problems and suffering. Big problems. And today, we are learning from their experience. We can talk about Job. We can talk about the Lord Jesus himself, who had many, many hard days here on earth. We will face various kind of trials in life, and here we can find a purpose, an answer to the why. God allows affliction in our lives with a purpose. God has intention to make us grow in maturity, lead us to be mature disciples that know how to deal with life and never give up. With a positive attitude before problems, we will obtain wisdom. If we ask for more wisdom, we need to be ready to learn it through a practical way. Problems, afflictions bring maturity to our hearts. But also, God used problems to help us to be faithful. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. "In this you rejoice through now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perish, though it is tasted by fire, might be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants people that can keep his commandment in the middle of problems and affliction. This is the mark of the disciples of Christ, our faithfulness to his word and commandment. We can face problems in many ways, different kind of decision we can take in the middle of problems, and having different kind of fruits of our decisions. But if in the middle of our problems we live by the commandments of God, we will remain until the end. God wants to prepare us to face him with a big smile at the end of times. God wants faithful people because he loves us. He don't show us just to leave us. Problems help us as a Christian to be a blessing to another people. And I want to read the last verse today. I use a lot of the scripture just to give an answer, three answers, because I had the opportunity to talk with people in Chile, Colombia, here in the United States, when they have some issues, problems, and they know that I'm Christian. So they came to me for an answer. Why God allows this in my life? And sometimes, as a Christian, the only answer we have is, well, I don't know. So handle it. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Sorry about that. But you know, the Bible tells us that God has a purpose when he allows problems and affliction. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our afflictions, so that we might be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So why God allows problems? Because he wants to use us to help another person here. You know, in Lansing, during our time to study, this semester I have 5 classes, like 15 credits. So some people say to me, Darío, you are crazy. That's too much. Okay, there's some student with 2 classes or 3 classes, you know, but I say, well, I'm like Peter. I can do anything and be faithful to the Lord. So I will take 5 classes and maybe more, okay? But during our time in Lansing, we had this experience our first year with English, okay? With English, oh my God, English. You know, our first year when I came to have my first classes, I was so excited. So I tried to be prepared in Chile. I took some English classes in some English institute, you know, universities, or reading some books, watching movies, you know, listening, I don't know, Britney Spears and Michael Jackson. So I thought, I'm ready, okay? So when I came in my first class, one of my professors started to speak, and I said, oh my God, he was so fast, and I couldn't understand nothing. You know, in my first week at college was so hard for me. I thought I was ready. I thought that in my heart, yeah, this is going to be a piece of cake, you know, I'm ready. But I had a lot of problems, still now. But because my experience, we could help another foreigners here in Lansing, help them then to improve their English. So we had the opportunity to have more friends, Latino friends. When, actually, I can tell you, yesterday my wife, she's, I don't know, she's poor sugar, my wife, okay? So different. I am the bad guy in my family, okay? Nobody wants to be my friend. Okay, when we go to the mall, everyone wants to approach to Adriana and start to talk with her. I don't know what happened with her. I mean, it's a blessing. And she told me, we were in TJ Maxx, I guess, TJ Maxx in the mall, you know. So when I go for some shopping with Adriana, I say, okay, you can go, you know, and I don't know, in your way, I will stay here because I know that it's going to take a lot of time, okay? So after I don't know, 3 hours, couple of minutes, he came so excited to me and say, Dario, I meet a new friend. I said, really? Yeah, a Cuban woman. Yeah, I was in the perfume section, you know, and she approached to me and started to speak in a kind of English because she heard that I was speaking in English with Abigail, okay? And she tried to speak in English with me, ask me for some help. But Adriana told me when I heard that she was trying to speak English and looks like a Latino, I started to speak in Spanish. And she was so happy to hear me speaking in Spanish that she hugged me and was so excited. Finally, somebody speak Spanish. You know, and she started to speak with her, and they start a friendship. And that is the way that sometimes we meet people in the malls, in the street, McDonald's, Latinos, that they don't know too much English, but they need to learn English. They need some help. And we invite them to an English club, English classes that we have in our apartment. And Mr. Thomas is our professor, okay? He's, you know, you need to learn, okay? But because of our experience, we could help our neighbors. And I believe if God allows problems and affliction to our life, it's because he wants to prepare you to help and comfort another person. Could be a relative, could be a neighbor, or it could be an stranger. Rick Warren, you know, the author of one of the most famous Christian books, he wrote a quote that for me is could be a great home decor quote. It's our last slide. He wrote this: character is both developed and revealed by tests, and all of life is a test. You will be tested by major changes, delayed promises, impossible problems, unaware prayers, undeserved criticism, and even senseless tragedies. And you know, this is one of the most famous pastors, leader here in the United States. But he had to face the death of one of his sons for his own decision. God allows problems because he wants to do something with us. If God chose Israel, was with intention to use them like a blessing for the rest of the world, but he had to prepare them to be a blessing. I want to encourage you today. If you are maybe in affliction and problems, if you are having bad times, I don't know, health problems, economic problems with somebody, I want to encourage you and tell you, God wants to prepare you and use you. He is so interested in you. If God allows problems in your life, it's because he wants to reveal something to you. He wants to improve something to you. He wants to use you to be a blessing for others. If problems and affliction help us to be better Christian, then they must be very welcome to our life. Let's pray. Dear Father, I want to, you know, give you thanks for the opportunity to be here with my brothers and sisters. All the opportunities that I came to participate with them and worship you, we find friendly faces. I want to give you thanks for these beautiful people here. And Lord, I don't know if they are facing some kind of problems, or if they are prepared for problems. But I want to ask you your blessing for all of them. I know that with the pass of the time, we learn from our problems and afflictions. And I can see that here there's a lot of faithful people to you. When I came for the first time in 2008, I find great people here. And today, in 2016, they are still faithful to you. Lord, thank you for each one of our problems and afflictions, because I know that you have a purpose to us. Please let us to be mature and ready to help others. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.